joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let
everybody. No more backwards thinking times or thinking ahead. It's the holiday time, and we just want to welcome listeners all around this beautiful world to bring back the family. I am your host, Kathy Clyburn, and I am happy and glad you chose to tune in to bring back the family focused on the youth. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. Keep that in mind. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. Okay? So we're going to start out with our scripture and our prayer. And we have today with us, we have Jacqueline Vandegrift. We have Ms. Rebecca Johnson. She's going to pray for us. We have Ms. Callie Pierce. And we have you. So, Ms. Vandegrift, you ready?
Yes, I am. Hello, everybody. A living sacrifice to God. Romans 12:1-13. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your body to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privileges and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluations of yourself, measuring yourself by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. Excuse me. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble on praying. When God's peoples are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his word. Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, precious Lord, giver of life, thank you that you hear and answer our prayers. Thank you for all the listeners and all those who will contribute to the discussion tonight. I ask that you bless each person that is listening now or will listen in the future, and bless Sister Deaconess Kathy for her sacrifices and contributions to assist the ones with the purest hearts, children. We thank you that your work through her inspires each of us to make our own sacrifices. We thank you, Lord, for the many blessings that we have already received in 2022 and all the years before that. We thank you for Pastor O and his wisdom to produce this show. Lord, you said, we have not because we ask not. So I ask that you please give us the courage to be uncomfortable as you show each of us ways to nurture and protect children in need and right the wrongs we see in our neighborhoods today. We thank you and ask for all these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Power in that prayer. Thank you, Sister Rebecca and Sister Jacqueline. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
If you stay tuned. So listen, if you hear kids in the background, babies, kids, period, this is a kid's house, and this is Bring Back the Family is about the kids. So, hey, That's it. So enjoy what you hear in the background today. Okay, we got to help our youth, okay? So that involves letting them hang around you. All right, Godly, thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Got a good lineup today, a full switchboard, and, hey, it is holiday time. I hope everybody had a good Christmas, and, you know, you shared some love. You got some gifts, you gave some gifts, and just everything was blessed. You know, it's holiday time, and we are about to venture into a whole new year. 2023, this is the last Friday of the year. Isn't that wonderful? Listen, so Bring Back the Family is a show that is designed to bring awareness to what we need to do for our youth in order for them to be good, productive citizens so that our youth can contribute and be a contribution to society and others all around this world. And all they need is a good foundation. And where does that come from? From me and you, okay? It's time. It's time for a change. It's time for awareness, hope, and accountability. Who is responsible? Whose responsibility is it? Okay? And what are we going to do and make up in our minds to do? Are we willing to roll up our sleeves and get busy with the challenges, the changes, support, and meeting our youth where they are? Mm-hmm. Sacrifice in order to make a difference in this world. Who is willing? Who is willing? How do we propose to do it? We propose to do it block by block. We've been talking about block by block all year, just doing something on your block, doing something on your block for your youth, just sharing, caring, love, being a positive role model, a good example. That our youth can see and learn and live by. It's us that they're seeing. It's us that they're seeing. If we just look back at our own life and see what we were given and who gave us what we needed to make it and what we had, we can use that as an example to give back, okay? To help our youth. We know what they need. We hear everything that's going on in the world, and it's a lot, okay? Let's see. So, let's see where I'm at here. Yeah, so block by block, doing something on your block, making sure that your youth on your block have something to do. Keep them busy. What are we going to do to make this world a better place for our youth, me and you, to live in? Are we not tired of all the violence going on all around us? When are we going to take back our homes, take back our children, take back our community? I talk to people all the time, young ladies and men that, you know, having challenges with our youth, and they're trying their best to help them. And they always talk about the states and the governments. They have just made like a big mess, a big mess. And now our kids think that they're in charge. And, you know, the parents, they talk about, you know, their boys and their girls fighting them and giving them, you know, black eyes, and parents are afraid to just kind of strike back at these kids because of fear of, you know, losing their livelihood. Their livelihood will be affected. They're being threatened, you know, to go to jail if they put their hands on their own children, okay? Parents are afraid of being cuffed, putting the cuffs on. It's just a lot going on right now. A lot of violent crimes happening, you know, and I just want to know, and I've been asking this question, when is it that we are going to get tired? When are we going to get tired of hearing all of the violence that's going on? And, you know, a lot of things I've been hearing on the news and hearing people call and telling me, you know, a 55-year-old woman was shot and killed, just getting in her, trying to get in her car the other day in the city. A parent called me today talking about her son. She's just afraid and fearing that he will be killed in the streets, just being out, just walking the streets, you know, hanging with the wrong crowd, fighting her. And they put the kids in these programs, and the programs are not really helping. Another lady called me yesterday and said another one of her boys in the program that she runs, that she's in, was shot and killed robbing a tow truck. Okay? A tow truck. So these are the things that's going on. Why? You know, we have overcrowded juvenile detention centers. You know, we try to talk to our youth and the youth workers. They try to talk to youth and tell them and try to explain to them, you know, what's going on. But they just won't listen. And I'm sure that you are experiencing some of these same things. They just don't want to listen. They feel like no one can tell them what to do, okay? And they say that we don't understand. And one of my youth workers was saying that she tried to tell them, okay, tell me so that we can understand. Tell me that so that we can understand. They say we just don't understand. So what is it that we don't understand? We have to talk to these kids and find out what it is that we don't understand so that we could try some kind of way to help them. Sacrifice now rather than later. What are we going to contribute to the youth in 2023 so that they can have what they need to make it in this world? What will be our investment? Mm-hmm. What will be our investment to ensure that there is a return? No investment, no return. If we don't invest in our youth, if we don't give them what they need to make it, we won't have anything coming back. You know, if we don't sacrifice now, what's going to happen later? This is what we're seeing now. If we're not going to sacrifice now rather than later, we have to sacrifice now and give them what they need to make it right now, because this is exactly what we're talking about. They don't have nowhere to go. They want to run the streets. They want everything fast. They don't want to work. They just want to take carjacking and just, you know, everything is just like chaos. You can't even go out your house now. So when are we going to get tired? When are we going to start investing? When are we going to take our homes back, bring our families back, bring our communities back? We just can't keep, you know, ignoring what's going on. We just can't, because it's just getting worse and worse. That could have been anybody, any of us. Yes, what's our sacrifice? If we help them now rather than later, we could deter some of this. We can deter some of this. And I, like I said, I talk to mothers and parents all the time, and they're pouring their hearts out. They don't know what to do. The states and governments have truly made a mess, and they don't even know what to do. They have so many kids that is just overflowing, and they feel like they can run our homes better than we can run them. But we have to try to take it back, take our families back, take our kids back, take our homes back, take our community back, take our kids to church. We can't leave that out. What do we have to lose? Taking them to church. What do we have? All we could do is game. Because what's going on now is not working. Okay, so sacrifice now rather than later. What are we going to contribute to the youth in 2023? What are you going to contribute? What are you going to help to bring in 2023? What's going to be different? I know it's just one, you know, one day to the next day, and it's going to go on just like any other day, but it's a challenge for us to try to do something better, because we all got kids out in the world. They're all out there. They're not afraid. They're out there. We're afraid for them, but they're not afraid.
Yeah.
Because they still want to do what they want to do. They want to be able to go to concerts and go to the store and go shopping and feel like they're safe, because they have been kept safe. They have. But if they're not used to not going out, you know, and facing all these dangers that they're facing out in this world, we got to steadily pray for our kids when they leave our homes. And ourselves, because that just kind of shook me up a little bit with the woman just coming out of the store minding her own business, and, you know, her life is gone today for some selfishness. Yeah. We have to show more love. We have to show more love. Our parents gave us total love. Total love. So we have to give back. We have to give back. Got Miss Jackie with us. Have Miss Rebecca with us. What do you girls got going on today? What's the sacrifice going to be for 2023? What should we do? What should we be doing? What is the listening audience going to be? What are you going to do? Are we just going to keep ignoring what we see?
Well, you know what, Sister Kathy, programs, the ones that we need to enhance, the programs that you had in place for 2022. And, you know, you and I talked about the golf outing. We were talking about a grant program for the children that will be participating in the outing, where they will receive a little gift card for their participation. And one thing about it is it will show them they will have a life experience with a learning experience, is something that they'll be prepared for life. And you wanted to enhance that program and turn it into something bigger. And, you know, we will be doing some fundraisers. We were talking about that. So things like that. And I think you said it goes all the way to October. But programs on putting something together where children, they will receive a stipend for going for this education. And if we find things and continue to enhance some of the things that you're already doing with children, and not only taking the children off the streets, but you're giving them a life experience. So I think that's one thing. Number two, we were talking about the tutoring program. There are different people that are experienced in different things. So we need people that knows how to do math, people, you know, that are skillful, that can take the time to help enhance them in different subjects. Because when a child's grades go up, they feel better. Their confidence is better. Their self-worth is better. So those type of things are some of the things that we want to share with them. And I know that we haven't talked about tennis yet, okay? But whatever activities they'll have, and then we'll connect them with other programs to also to bring them along with this year, that we keep them busy. And we have all kinds of summer programs. We keep them busy, but also we have to remember that when we put these things on the table, our listening audience has to become a part of it, investing in it. Like the writing campaign that Teresa Langley spoke about. The stipend is $25, but for a child, a gift card. I know this when you and the church gave a gift card to the children for Thanksgiving. That little boy was so happy about his little gift card. You know, I even got a gift card, and I was like a kid at a candy store. But what I'm saying you know, sometimes we have to bring a joy into it. And when, because if you don't expose your children, they really don't know what they want. But if you try it and complete it and learn how to do it, whether you do it ever in life again, you have that experience.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that, as far as myself, is paying forward.
Mm-hmm.
Being as an instrument for whatever you need, we can help you with. Okay, so I'm looking at for myself for the new year is order. Order as far as not wasting time, have a schedule and getting fulfilling the requirements for that hour, not wasting time. If I say I'm going to do something for an hour, then I will take that hour and do that. When that clock stops for the hour, then that assignment is over. And having some order in that. So, you know, if I'm excited for the new year that's coming in. It'll be here in a few days. And so we are off running to get this together. And you see some great changes for your organization, for the children. And I'm looking forward to them stepping out with their own show. I am so excited for that show. And I think that was a great idea that you put in place.
Yeah, we need to hear what's on their minds and what they need, and they need to express their feelings and talk to one another and encourage each other to do well. So one Friday out of the month, they will come on and just have their day and their time to express themselves and encourage one another. Yeah. And they're going to run their own little show there. Yeah, we got college kids that been to college, and they're going to be on. And we got some high school kids, and they're just going to, you know, do what they do. And then maybe we can learn from what they do. You know, we can learn some things, and we can try to understand what it is that they're going through and what they need for us to do. Okay? Yeah. You know, it's a lot. It's work, and it's a lot of work. But someone has to do it. I'm excited. I'm looking forward to putting together getting this team together to put together these workshops. Seminar, all day workshop, and we're working on that, and we're going to have different careers there, and they're going to declare what they're going to do before they leave there. We're going to start them early, 7, 8 years old. What are you going to do? What do you want to do? Put it in their minds right now so that they know that they have something that they're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, if you want to have a comment, press Yeah. Go ahead, Miss Rebecca.
You know what? I just want to put my 2 cents in on the choice they're going to end up making. You said before the end of the show they're going to decide what they're going to do.
As far as their career?
Yeah.
No, when we have the program, the seminars and the program is going to be at a venue.
Oh.
And we'll have a fair there with different careers. And Nico Gaster, has a program called Declaring Your Success. And so it's you have to declare what it is that you're going to do. And everybody will do that before they leave there. And then there's something about they'll match them up with a mentor in that field.
Oh, that's
so,
really good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have to start somewhere. And I think, sometimes parents just don't talk about they don't talk about college. They don't talk about careers. They don't even talk about work. And the expectations that you have to have in order to be a good productive citizen. We'll have law enforcement there. We'll have the armed services there, and I just can't wait to get that started. And I just see it being a success. And we'll just bring kids from all over, and let them, find out what it is that they want to do. What are their gifts and talents?
I was thinking that each child would choose two things. One would be a main thing, and another thing for a backup, so that they can have something to fall back on if the first thing doesn't work as well as they wanted it to.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully the parents will be, check the child out and see what their gifts and talents are. You can always do 2 and 3 things. You can learn how to cook. You can be a chef, and you can be an engineer. You could be, 2 or 3 things that you could be. A decorator, Yeah, you speak other languages. Yes, you can have a whole lot of things up under your belt.
Mm-hmm.
And we want them to be able to know that they can do all those things. All those things can be done. And we're going to encourage them to do them, more than one thing. And once they get that in their mind, bodies, and soul, and they get that in there, and they're used to people encouraging them and having expectations for what they plan to do. You have to have some expectations for our babies. We do. If we don't have any expectations, they won't know, where to go. They won't have any expectations. No, they won't. They'll be lost, like many of our kids are lost right now today. Yeah, even kids that I, work with, they need a lot of work. Yeah. We're going to try to get them the help that they need so they can catch up and be where they're supposed to be and look forward to having a good, productive life. Mm-hmm. Be good, productive citizens. Mm-hmm. And if anyone want to have a comment, just press 1, and you are welcome to chime in on your comment. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we say, my kid is not, not going to college, or they don't want to go. But sometimes they don't know that they want to go. They're at an age where they really don't know. We don't even know. But I think that they should have that opportunity to be able to go, Because if
and
we tell them, if we lead them in the right direction.
But you know what, Kathy? Not only that, having the experience
of knowing what it feels like to be a college student. I mean, when we look at it and we look at our children and they're going off and they are about to embrace a new way of life, but having that experience under their belt and building networks and relationships with other people that will probably be a lifetime relationship or connection. And it has so many experience that that they will be involved in. And I like the idea I remember, and I'm not going to say the church, but their college students, they embrace them throughout the and being a support factor. Sometimes they would have teams of doing surprise visits, checking on them, making sure they're in line. They would send them the college in tools, and it was not like they were out there in the world all by themselves, and they were able to enjoy the experience of something. And even to that point, maybe down the road they want to do something else, but that one piece of paper, that degree, they'll ask you, do you have a degree in that field? Unless it's something like being a specialized field. But that degree can go in many directions. And once they put down, yes, I have a degree, they might want to change the direction and have a minor in another direction and take that to somewhere to make them happy. But that's experience. And that's something that they need to touch and embrace and be a part of. And the ceremony for graduation is a lifetime experience. Something that they'll never forget. They achieve something. And then when a child finishes it, they're learning that you have to complete it. I remember someone was saying about teaching a child how to swim. Well, you know, swimming, as we know, is it can save your life. But the child would never know if you can swim unless they were able to get in the water and learn. So after they learn, that experience, they could just enjoy it. Or it could take them to the Olympics. But it's always about opening up and reaching out and almost like tasting the flavors of the world in a positive way. That's all I have to say.
Yeah. And, you know, that's when you get your degree and you have that paper, that's something that no one can ever take from you. You'll always have it. They can't take it. Once you get it, can't nobody take it from you.
Yeah.
Well, it's yours to have and do, you know, excel.
Yeah.
So don't tell them they don't need it. You know, if they have the abilities to go to college, then let them go. Let them get that experience, like you said. And then you have a skilled trade.
Yeah.
They can learn how to be a plumber or electrician. Like Pastor said last week, just let them get their basics. If that's what they need, just get the basics. Make sure they have the basics.
That's a very good point, though. The simple experience of college is good and will serve you for your whole life. And tasting the flavors of the world, that's good. Ooh-wee.
Right. Yeah, they don't have to stay in one place. They go anywhere they want to go. They could travel all around the world and get out the house, get out the basement, get out the community, get lost.
Yeah, and just leading the community is also a good experience to keep and to have and to build on.
Yes. Press one, you guys, and talk with us and tell us what you're going to do for the in 2023 to help the youth, you know, to help them get focused and help them to get a dream, you know, and be able to take care of themselves. They have to know that they have to take care of themselves. You know, we have a lot of young men that just don't want to work today. I was trying to figure out, where did that come from? Where did it come from? And who told you that you don't have to work? And it seemed like it's easier for them to go out and, you know, get in trouble, sell stuff that they shouldn't sell. And they'd rather do that instead of just going ahead and getting you some benefits. So when you get old, you have some benefits. You have some savings to be able to take care of yourself. You know?
Yeah.
I like to see the young people leave. I like to see them go. I like to see them travel. And I like to see them come back and visit. My nephew was here from Las Vegas, come to see his dad, and you know, looks well, looks good. They hardly ever come home, but they do come home, and it's good to see them when they come back. But you know that you don't have to worry about them while they're out there, because they're doing the right things. You put them out there right, you don't have to worry about them. Press one if you want to have a comment. 5762, you always talking, always got some good conversations and comments. So press your one. And don't call me later and be saying, okay, now listen, say this and say that. Press your one and you say what's on your mind. Okay? Yeah. So, yeah. I'm looking forward to 2023 and just continuing with helping the little group that I have to help. And they went skating today. Some of them went skating today, and some of them are going to go skating tomorrow. And they have a activity down at the Art Institute where they do some activities and things down there. We might go down there and just go downtown and just hang out. We might get on the trolley and have some fun before they go back to school. Just letting them be out and explore. And know this is what you're going to have to do for your own family when you go places, okay? When you get your family, this is what you're going to have to do for them. Before they go back to school, hopefully they're going to go up to the museum at Michigan State and get that tour from my nephew. And that'll be a nice experience for them. So it's just that simple. Just come up with some stuff and with some activities, because it's important for kids to have activities, and they'll get used to it. And you can't interrupt their learning. If they're supposed to be at a certain place, if they're supposed to be at karate at 5 o'clock, make sure they're there at 5 o'clock or 10 minutes before. If they're at tutoring, make sure they go to tutoring, because that's somebody's time. That's taking time with them, and that's going to show them that they can finish something, they can complete something. But if we keep jerking them back and forth and pulling them and not letting them complete something, then they'll never complete anything, okay? So you have to let them go and let them do, let them experience, and let them be on time, let them be organized. They'll get used to that. It's just training. It's training. They're watching us. and they're learning and doing everything they see us doing. I see it with my little fella here. He's watching, and he say everything you say, and he try to do everything you do. He tried to hit at me one day. I hit that little hand. He ain't do it no more. You got to hit him. Just tap that little hand. He's like, oh, yeah, he ain't do it no more. But if you just keep letting him hit you and hit you and hit you, he going to think that's all right. Nope. That's how you train him. You train him little, 1 year old. You got to train them right there. Yeah. You got to let kids be kids. You got to let a baby be a baby. You have to have time for them. You have to sit down on the floor with them and let them color. Let them play with their little trains and let them count. Let them play with their blocks. You have to do those things with them and let them be a baby at that age, at that time, because that's what time is allotted for them. And we probably need to tell our little young mothers that, you know, you have to spend time with your little one. You can't just keep having them running around in and out the cars and in and out the house all types of time of the night. They need to be settled and in one place, their own place. So press one if you want to have something to say. Bring back the family show. We just want everybody to, you know, just spread the word. Let people know what's going on with Bring Back the Family. And we do want our families brought back. We do. Because we could think about how we were when we were coming up. You know, we were safe. You know, we didn't have a lot of this what's going on now. And so we know what our kids need. We know what the next generation needs. And we need to talk to them about that. We need to talk to them about what's going to happen next. What's going to happen next? What is your responsibility? What are you going to offer to life or the world? What are you going to offer to the next generation? You got little brothers and sisters. What you going to offer them? They're looking at you. They're looking up to you. So you have to be the example. You have to be the example. I tell young men that all the time, but young teenagers, you guys are the example. You got brothers and sisters, and they're looking up to you. They're looking at you. Watching what you're doing at all times. And so you have to be the example for them to look up to. Yeah. And that's all these kids need. They just need you to communicate with them and talk to them. Find out what's on their mind. Sister Pierce, you are with us today. You have something you want to say? We've been missing you. Okay. Well, you guys are quiet tonight. Welcome to Press One. Here we go. There we go. Talk to us, Mom Irma. Hello. You're on 6412, Mother Irma.
Okay, I have to unmute myself. Thank you.
No.
I just wanted to share with you that I've been listening for quite a while, and I had even recently shared with you as to something I thought I would try and do with your children, and that is because I love cooking, baking, that our children even also need to learn how to do this while they are young. Even those times when they may have to come in from school and perhaps there's nothing for them to eat, But so many things now are instant that could be done in the microwave as long as they've got permission from the parents to even use the microwave. So there's so many things mm-hmm. that we need to guide them and showing them how to. And anything that may be being made from scratch, I don't mind even showing them how to do that, how to measure with a measuring cup, how to read the measuring spoons, and just a lot of, you know, the normal natural things that we do have to use. Because when my children went off to school, they ended up being the only ones within their group of persons that knew how to cook. And the kids would kind of depend on them to help to make a meal. That was my boys as well as my girl. So it's something that we need to know how to do so that we don't go off and be on our own and still don't know how to take care of ourselves. So mm-hmm. I just thought I would let it be known that new year coming in, that I plan to kind of make room, even if I can't have all of the children at one time, we may have to split them up and just have mm-hmm. a different session or two, trying to just give them the basics of the cooking. Mm-hmm. And that was a time that I was also sewing. I was teaching sewing classes. And the girls started at 8 years old and up to senior citizen age. So I've been experienced in both. After I stopped doing so much sewing, and then I started the baking. So I do know how to do professional cake decorating. So we're trying to give them the basic skills to just know how to do something to take care of themselves. Mm-hmm. So that is my New Year thought. And I'm just grateful that I'm able to even tune in with you tonight, because this year hasn't been a good one for me health-wise, but I thank the Lord I'm truly seeing where I'm getting my strength back. So I'm glad Amen. About it and believing that it's going to continue to be a good year coming in. And I'm going to give myself a happy birthday wish, too, because my birthday will be January 4th.
Oh, yeah.
So I'll be coming in with
happy birthday.
New birthday at the beginning of the year. All right, so God bless you.
Yes.
And if
Thank
I can
you,
make
Mother
mention,
Irma.
I want to mention, too, the subject on last week about the people on the street and how they are just out there. Unfortunately, I have experienced to see that type of action or behavior because I worked for the Detroit Rescue Mission. Mm. So I know what it's like to see that lineup of people outside waiting to get in. I'll see them line up wanting to be fed, not knowing where they were going to sleep. And I was the one that would be the receptionist for the organization, the ministry. And I would answer the phone calls for the three locations, the one on 3rd Street. And we had an aftercare place that was on Grand River and Trumbull. And they also had a camp program for the children to attend. And they didn't sleep in cabins. They slept in teepees. And that, too, was an experience to see teepees that were set up large enough to accommodate the children. And it was just an experience even for me to see these things happening. So I just thank the Lord for being able to share with you some of the things that I have experienced and willing to share. So God bless you all. Continue to pray for me in this ministry because it is a good one. And I'm certainly knowing that others out there are listening, and call in and let us know what you're wanting and willing to do to share in this new year. Happy new year to all of you. Be safe. God bless you.
Thank you, Mother Irma. Happy New Year to you, too. Happy birthday. And you and Sister Shudi, Sheila. You guys enjoy your birthdays. Yeah. Whole
Amen.
New year. Yeah. Thank you. You know, I can't wait to do the cooking part. I'm going to, as soon as they learn, I'm going to have them cooking for me all the time.
And also, Kathy, you know my grandson, Master Khalil. Uh-huh. Master's birthday is the 31st of December.
Oh,
and
yeah,
so we'll have to extend our birthday wishes to him. He'll be 16.
Right, you're right. Mm-hmm. Way in Vegas, Las Vegas, Nevada. Master Khalil, yeah. 16 whole yeah. years old. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And you really worked well with him. You gave him what he needed to make it as a youngin, and just brought him right on up. You know, we had that Amen. That licking stick and everything ready for him.
Yeah.
And now he's
I kept
16.
Him
you probably never thought you'd see that day.
No, I started with him at 2 years old and
yeah.
kept him until he was 14.
Right,
so
right.
And quite now, a handful.
Yeah. Now he has spread his wing and living in Las Vegas. That's good.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Looking like a little
Amen.
Man. 16, boy, that time went really fast. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we thank you.
Okay.
Well, we thank you and we appreciate you for paying forward because that's exactly what you did. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yeah, we have a lot of grandmas raising their grandkids is like, and they do such a wonderful job, and it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work after you raised your own kids, and then you have the task of raising your grandkids. So that's a lot of work. Yeah. And you did it. You made
Amen.
It.
Amen. Amen. Thank the Lord for it.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. Can't wait for that cookie. Mm-hmm.
I like the idea mm-hmm. of the cooking show. Have you ever thought about mm-hmm. Maybe having it on Zoom where your students can be right there on Zoom with everything and cooking right along with you?
No.
Wow, good idea.
No, and thought that far.
That is a great idea. Uh-huh.
And that could be another activity that we have.
Mm-hmm.
For our young girls and boys and even some of us that on the sideline, we could be on the sideline and you could be teaching us as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you got all those secret recipes you can teach us too.
And so, you know, that's something that Yeah, that's paying forward, and everybody in their own kitchen is coming up, and they have to wash their own dishes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah, I'm just going to be there for more support, and I'm going to have them cooking for me. Mm-hmm. I sure am. They're gonna get tired of me.
That's right.
Yeah.
I know.
I know. I'll call Mother Irma at Christmas Eve and say I need 6 cakes.
I tell them stop coming at me for the last minute.
Do you do the sugar free?
I do what?
The sugar-free cake.
I think, did you send that request to me and I didn't answer back yet, huh?
No, you didn't.
Uh-huh, yeah.
yeah. No, I haven't, but I'm going to give it a try.
Oh, well, you know mm-hmm. what? You try with the pound cake and I'll be your taster.
Okay.
That's right.
All right.
That is what she told me to tell you.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I look forward to it. And, you know, one of the things is that, you know, today, you know, all jokes aside, but we have a lot of children that are diabetic. And, and maybe they could also be a part of this so that they can learn how to cook properly for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know,
right.
You know, some,
good idea.
It's hard for a child not to be able to enjoy some of the pleasures that other children are enjoying, and it kind of puts them in a different category. So, you know, a class like that would really, really, it really would, you would be surprised how many students you would have. And, you know, it could go far, you know.
And then they
can
have
their own
little
network.
Like I said, they can have their own little network and start their own little cooking show after you teach them how to cook. If our kids need to know how to do those things too, they need to be on TV on cooking shows and do all the things that everybody else has an opportunity to do. It's a big old world. God has everything for us to do, for us too. It's for it's enough for everybody to do. Paying forward. Thank you, Mother Irma. You have truly been a paying forward queen.
Thank you, Lord. I've always enjoyed, and I'd stand in the kitchen and watch my mom for years. That's how I learned how. Even at, at the age of 11, I was taking care of, I'm the middle child of five children, and my mom got sick. And after dad was the one that was taking care of us, and so it got to the point where she went in the hospital for a long time, and I was the one that was the main cook and knowing how to do the laundry and the whole work at a young age. Took care of the older sister and the brother. The younger sister and brother went off to another relative for a while, but I was the one taking care of daddy and older sister and brother. So we made it.
Look at those good memories.
Amen.
They should be able to have some good memories like that too, because we all have could talk about all of the good memories that we had, and you know, our dads and our moms and our siblings and all the fun things that we did, and just, you know, sharing and caring for one another, looking out for each other, and just, you know, just sharing love. I mean, we had it. It was just. So I don't know where it all just went, you know, how it all got lost. It's a needle in a haystack right now. And so we want our youth to be able to look back and have, you know, some good fond memories and see some beautiful pictures and things like that. You know, I don't want to talk about behaviors, too, because, man, oh, boy. You know, people raise their kids differently, and all I know is that we were made to behave. We couldn't go places and show out and act up and, you know, break bottles and, you know, just run around people's establishments and things like that. And so it's like our kids are out of control when it comes to that. And so I don't know what we could do for these behaviors. I know that we need to keep them busy with activities and things like that. But it is really out of control. It's out of control. You know, we can't have that corporal punishment no more. You know, I was telling the kids earlier, I went and got me an honor cord earlier, and I was chasing them down the street because they had their little garbage down the street and didn't pick it up. So I said, this is what I used to get a whooping with. This here, cord like this. It wasn't no switch. It was a cord like this. I said, I'm going to whoop y'all if y'all don't go get that trash. And their eyes got big. So, you know, they didn't kill us. We weren't in trouble, wasn't in jail, didn't have no cuffs on our hands, you know, so I don't know. It's rough because it's the behaviors that's making these young folk go out here and just do these terrible things that they're doing. So 2023, you know, mm-hmm. we cross over 2023, we're just looking for a miracle, a miracle that everything just, you know, calmed down. Everything just calmed down. Everybody just kind of, you know, get their little heads together and think about, you know, one another, think about each other and think about one another's life and all of that. So, yeah. So that's something we're going to have to work on, the behaviors, and maybe get somebody on to talk about behaviors. Because all I know is that I got whoopings. That's all I know to combat those behaviors. So, yeah.
Just like the kids want to go over those sleepovers.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't do that unless we knew mama or daddy, whoever the parents were before we would be allowed to go over. And certainly one of the parents was going to be at home. And even when my kids would come around as adults, which they all are adults now, but I'd always ask them about their family tree. I want to know what's your family name and who are you type of a thing. I just want to know where they're going.
And that's very important because if the child knows that you are, even if they get a little upset, but they know or they expect you to be concerned. And you know, we were not allowed. You were right. We were not allowed to sit in the 90s. But you know, I'm going to tell you something now. I was not the type of child that could get spankings or whoopings or whatever. But my father used to use Bible. Whatever you did, you found a chapter or book in the Bible that explained everything that you needed to know, and you had to sit there and not just listen, but you had to participate. And I had one of those sisters that was the worst for her to sit still. She would prefer to be good than sit still and listen to my father. But that's how he handled us, you know. And because all children, not the same, and all children, I was one of those type of children, child that could not accept the fact of any type of chastising like that, you know. But, you know, my mom raised us as individuals. Some of them in the family got it because that's all they understood. You know.
She told me about a whooping that she got one time, and guess what she got a whooping with? I laughed so hard. The arm of a sweater.
A sweater.
And she just
tell her how long
like
that
dessert. what, a week?
No, I did. I cried for 3 days, and my father promised me if I stopped
half
crying,
a week,
he did not ever hit me again.
With an arm of a sweater. I was like, huh?
What, they put knots in the sleeves?
That was so funny. I was like, wow. I was like, you got problems, girl.
No, that was not problems. It was just, it was a different, we are not identical. All children are not alike.
All right. Well, yeah, that's totally way off. That's
not
real different.
I'm just saying
it's different. You said we're not all alike. So, yeah, that was real different from what I got. Way different.
It depends on what you were doing, Kathy.
Girl, I wasn't doing that much.
Well, back then,
I can't even
remember.
Back then, it wasn't that bad.
Much for them to catch
Huh?
I said, back then, it didn't take much. You know, parents didn't tell me anything back there.
Mm-hmm. They twisted your ears and everything. My goodness. But we didn't have to, they didn't have to worry about us going nowhere, acting out. You know, people didn't mind us coming to their homes, you know. And, you know, yeah, them Miss Clyburn's kids, that's what they used to say. Oh, you Miss Clyburn's child, come on in. Yeah, mm-hmm. We knew. Mm-hmm. No, we didn't have to, nobody had to worry about that. Mm-hmm. No, not now. Today, I don't know. Yeah, so
mm-hmm.
I know my dad used to look at us. We couldn't tell him no story. We could not lie because he knew who did what, and he would look at you, he'd line you up and look at you with them hazel brown eyes and just look at you and look at you and look at you one at a time, just keep looking at you. Why he eating on a wing, chicken wing, and he just eating it and twisting it and with no more meat on it. just cleaning that meat and just looking at us and just looking and looking and looking. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So we didn't want to go through that. Yeah, but, you know, parents don't have time for their kids now. I think it's just a time factor. No time. You know, no time to that. They'll see the daddy's going to work. You know, the mom's not home cooking and cleaning and disciplining. It's not that anymore. So, yeah, we have come a long way. Yeah. All right. Well, let me see. Anybody else have anything? We're going to bring that awesome O-O-N so I can find him. Mm-hmm. It's about time to hear the word from the awesome old. Anybody have anything else that they want to discuss with us? Huh?
Little blue.
That's it, and that's all? Pastor O. Yeah, maybe. You want to say something, Poopa? Huh? You want to say something? Pastor O. Are you with
us? Oh, I had to unmute my phone. Oh, yeah.
You just wanted
I
to hear
forgot.
Me say
I didn't
awesome
have my headset on. I have my little speakerphone. Can you hear me okay?
Oh, yeah. We hear you.
Yeah, I got my little, I'm on my little flip phone.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, we'll flip it.
It's working.
Well, we're here. We got Mother Irma. We got Miss Jackie, we got Miss Rebecca, we got Miss Pierce, and all the other listeners. And we have awesome. Oh, hey.
Yeah.
It flipped out.
Okay, now I'm on my other phone.
Okay. All righty. Well, come on in, Awesome O.
Okay, there we go.
We want to see the mighty Awesome O.
Oh, yeah, I've been listening to the conversation all evening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, looking forward to the next year, what we're going to do, what is going to be the contribution that we make. And you know, and I guess if we be intentional about it, then, you know, it's hard for people to even think about when you ask them that question, what are you going to do? Well, I hadn't quite thought about doing anything but feeling bad about it, praying about it. But sometimes we have to put, you know, we have to do what we can do. I go back to when Jackie said, looking to see what I can do, where I can fit in. That's what we have to do. We have to look and see where we fit and then do that, because that's where you're going to work best. Like we talked about before, some people are givers, you know. I in the future, get the 501c3 all hooked up and together. then there will be people who can give to finance the things that you do. And that's, you know, that's, there are some folks who that's just what they do. They're literally in Romans chapter 12, if you are a giver, then mm-hmm. be generous in your giving. And so there's people who are literally gifted above other people to be givers like that. So, yeah. But, you know, I enjoyed the conversation about being multi-talented, having more than one iron in the fire. Anybody in finances will tell you you need to have more than one stream of income, because in this world, things fail all the time. And so when one fails, another one picks up, or another one already exists. And so the failure isn't as bad. There is a loss, but it's not a total loss. That's the way stocks work. Especially when you get into mutual funds, ETFs, things like that, they help you guard against total loss. There is always a risk, but a risk can be like a fixed income, a semi-aggressive growth, or it can be aggressive growth. Okay, and all three of those, they come with a certain amount of risk, but your risk tolerance will determine which one that you want to be in. But what those ETFs and mutual funds and 401ks do is they invest some like 40% bonds, 60% stocks, and then they vary your stocks. So that way, if one is doing bad, not all of them are doing bad. So when you're a multi, when you're educated and you know how to do a lot of different things, then you become valuable. A lot of people get on the job and say, well, I wasn't hired for that. Well, learn that. It'll make you just that much more valuable, especially if you didn't go to school to get a higher education, a bachelor's degree or greater, right? Or even an associate's degree. If you didn't do that, then your way up is becoming valuable in that company, understanding how the whole floor works, wherever you work, how this whole office works. Once you understand that, you have a good chance to become an office manager, because you understand how it works. And so when a job becomes available, you can explain to them why they should put you in the position based on your knowledge of understanding how each piece works. And so even though you didn't go to school, you didn't get the education, you did learn the place where you work and how it works. And then you became valuable mm-hmm. In that place and moved up. So being multi-talented is a good thing. Do this, you might get bored of this. Like I said, there was a guy who went to school and worked in the corporate world for some years. Didn't really feel at home, but now he's him and his wife, they're wealthy. His wife still works in the corporate world, but he runs his own business, and it's those detour signs. I told you about that. So mm-hmm. he has talent. He's got talents in a lot of different areas. He had a coffee. So for a while, he did a coffee company and some other things. And now they have a marriage. They have something like what you have. It's a lighthouse marriage, I believe. They help you in your relationships with things like that. They're on our church website. I haven't changed the name. But it'll get the link will get you to the right place, okay? Mm-hmm. And he talks about a lot of good things on there. But being multi-talented is a good thing, okay? And then I heard you talking about being organized, be there on time, you know, keep those appointments, and that's right, because if you don't. And they'll go through life like that. That it'll become a learned behavior. And then once they get to a certain age, that learned behavior will have to be unlearned, and that takes time. That's a big fight. So teaching them, my father used to say, when he would tell you to do something, he would add, do it now, behind everything he asked you to do. There was no, if he asked you to do it, he meant for you to do it now. Not, I'm going to get to it later. He was strict about do it now. And he would literally say mm-hmm. that. So so that you, mm-hmm. you know, there would be no ambiguities about it, I mean, for you to do this now. So teaching them how to be organized in early in life teaches them how to be organized later in life. My parents were good at teaching you how to be organized. And to tell you the truth, when I hit the Navy, you're talking about organizing you. Boy, they're going to fix you up or send you back home all messed up. So when I got when I was in the Navy, a lot of the things that my mother had taught me, okay, my father taught me how to not fail, but my mother taught me how to, it was those domestic things that she taught that helped me in the Navy, because I knew how to make up a bed, because we were told to make up your bed. I knew how to mop a floor because we were told to mop the floor. I knew how to clean a bathroom because we were told to clean the bathroom. So when I joined the Navy as a grown man, those things came into play. And then the things that my father taught me about being a man helped me to make it through boot camp in just 9 weeks, because you do 7 weeks in boot camp and then 2 weeks in apprentice training. But we started with 87 people. We graduated 40. So these things that you teach them early in life, I mean, who would have ever thought the things that my mother taught me about washing dishes and mopping floors and cleaning the bathroom and all of the other stuff that she taught us how to do came in big time in the Navy, of all places. And I was so glad that I knew these things as I looked at other guys who were seriously suffering for not knowing. Trust me, if you don't know how to do something in the military, they don't just pat you on the back and say, okay, try it again. You suffer severe punishment for everything you do wrong. So it was hard. It was tough, but that helped out. So teaching them that stuff early, it helps out. Okay, and be involved in your kids' lives and be intentional about raising them on purpose. Like you were saying, doing the block, sit on the floor, play with them. What I heard you saying without saying it was be involved in their lives. Become an integral part of their lives. Be intentional about understanding that they're learning from you. So everything you do should be a class. Every time they look at you. And even when you make mistakes, just like they make mistakes and get punished for it, they should see that you should be so transparent that you made a mistake. They can't punish you, but they understand that you did wrong and you suffer for it. And when they come to understand that, then they understand you punishing them, because they notice that even you don't get to do wrong because you're grown. They understand that wrong is wrong, whether you're a child or an adult. And they have a whole, that's going to help them not to have authority problems, not wanting anybody to tell them what to do. They will understand when they go to school, this teacher has authority over me. This principal has authority over me. This hall monitor, this security guard has authority over me, okay? And they don't have authority over me to harm me. They have authority over me to help me up, to keep me safe, to teach me, to educate me. It's for my good. And so, you know, when we become intentional about what we're doing, especially Christians. Everybody should do it, but especially Christians. We should be models. Our kids shouldn't run to the preacher and say, I just want you to know it's not like that at home. See, we need to be models of what we holler hallelujah and amen to, because they see us in church hollering hallelujah and amen, praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus. But they know at home, they know amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus. It's something else altogether. And so those are two conflicting things. That is a bad model. And what that's going to do is make them can't wait till they get 18, so they'll never have to go to church again because they feel like the church is filled up with a bunch of hypocrites. That's where that thought comes from. We modeled that kind of behavior in front of them. So if you're going to have be involved with children, then be involved in a way that educates them in a positive way, in a right way, in a good way. Like my mother used to tell us, when you go outside, remember you representing us, our name. We have a good name in this community, and we don't want you to go out there and mess it up. And so, you know, they were concerned. They set a good example and earned a good name. A good reputation is to be desired above rubies and all that other stuff, right? They didn't want us to go out there and besmirch it with bad behavior. That's why back in the day, people who knew your parents, like I don't know who it was that said we want, I think it was Mother Irma, she right. They wanted to know who you hanging, who is your mom, who is your daddy. My wife's grandmother, Lord have mercy, you're not getting out the kitchen before you give up a resume. She wants to know what. And go, do you go to church? What church you go to? Who your pastor? She wanted to know all of that. Because, see, in their day, that would tell them about you, which would lead to when they see you in the streets and you acting out of character of your parents, right? They would say stuff to you like, you ain't nothing like your mom and your daddy. I know your mom and your daddy. And they would never do nothing like that. They expected you to behave in a way that had been modeled so in front of you. And so they expected that. I know your mama. I know your daddy. Okay? Biblically, it's like when the Apostle Paul ran into, well, the seven sons of Sceva, who saw Paul casting out demons in Jesus' name, tried to do the same thing. Even them demons said, we know Jesus, and Paul we heard about, but who are you? In other words, they even demons recognize that you don't roll with Jesus. We know Jesus. You're not connected to him. Ain't no Holy Spirit inside you. And then slipped over there and closed the door and tore him up. So that was a real big one right there. Be involved and be intentional. Understand every day you wake up, you're a teacher. And when them kids wake up, even if you don't have any children, if you ever find yourself around them anywhere, you just turned into a teacher. It is your job, even if you don't open your mouth, right? 1 Thessalonians 4:11-12. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, mind your own business, work with your own hands, get the respect of those who are on the outside. So that means when the kids come around, you're an example. Even though you're a grown-up, shouldn't be cussing, but you're a grown-up, okay, remember they're there. And you just turned into a teacher. Everything going forward since they entered the room, in your presence, you just turned into a teacher. And so whatever you say, whatever you do in front of them, be intentional about teaching them properly. Don't wonder why they cussing and you cuss all day. Don't wonder why they lie and you teach them how to lie. Who is that? Tell them I ain't here. Don't wonder why they, is that my mama? Tell her I ain't here. Don't wonder why they told their friends to tell you they ain't there, because you told them to tell whoever it was they wasn't there, so now they doing it. So don't be surprised if they're little liars, because they learned it from a big liar. So be intentional about them raising them children. And then every one family that gets taken care of or gets turned back to the right track, called back to together as a family, reach back and get another family and do that. And pretty soon, a lot of families, we won't get them all. That's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but, I mean, all you have to do is get that one family. If you can bring that one back, and then once that one's back, like I told you, my wife and I, the Lord got us into that, helping struggling young people, whether they were single, with children, men or women, because single men have children too, just Pastor Jonathan Tate, single father, raising two boys. So it happens, right? And so we would help them, and then once they were up on their feet, they moved on. And then you go to the next one. And see, every one family you help just may remember that, to do the same thing. And then you know, so the work spreads. It's not just happening here. They become intentional about it too, and now they're doing it. And then I loved it when Mother was talking about teaching you how to cook. My mother saw to it that we knew how to cook. She saw to it that we knew how to cook and wash dishes. I told you how I learned how to wash dishes, because I told my mother that was woman's work. And she didn't flip. She didn't trip. She didn't slap no hair off my head or nothing. No skin off my face. She said, well, I want you to know that a man can wash dishes. So she let me wash dishes for a whole year to prove to me that a man could wash dishes. And guess what? A man can wash dishes. That is not woman's work. It is just work. So,
amen.
I learned that lesson. Plus, my sister Cheryl taught us how to cook cakes. My sister Persia and Janetta tried to teach us how to cook breakfast, but we never quite mastered. Well, I'm super good with the scrambled egg now and the egg thing. I finally got that. Okay, but them pancakes. Somebody saw my pancake one day and say, oh, you cooking eggs? I'm like, no, that is a pancake. They're like, oh, really? So I'm not real good with the pancake, not real good. Okay, but I cook turkey, ham. I usually do all the meat, turkey and ham during the special holidays. But Sheila cook everything else, so, and do all the bacon. So I just, you know. But I do know how to cook. I know how to mop floors. I know how to vacuum, wash dishes. I can wash clothes if I'm not too lazy and I don't just dump them all in the same and then they come out psychedelic colors. But I can wash them right if I just have some patience, just a little patience, and do four loads instead of four loads in one. And, you know. Like my father said, that's a lazy man load. But anyway, okay. And, yeah, lastly, becoming lax in discipline, letting kids get away with it. The things I see these kids doing today, it was unheard of. First, you do not talk. If you go through, you come in the house, Your mother and the father and their friends are sitting in there talking. You walk straight through the living room. You don't say a word. If you say anything, you say hi. And you say that if there's a break in the conversation. If they're into it, you just walk straight through. You do not stop. You do not join the conversation. And you don't tell your parents what they're not going to do or what you're not going to do. You don't say to your parents, you can't come in my room, because they would let you know. They'll take your door off. That's what will happen. Your door will come off. Not now whose room you're in. My father would tell you, your room is on the other side of that door, the front door. It's on the other side of that one. It's on the other side of the back door. That's your room. Okay. But we have, you spare the rod and spoil the child. And like you say, Kat, that corporate punishment is almost illegal. In other words, the devil has fixed it where you cannot correct your children or they'll call the police on you. Okay, so we're in a world now where discipline has been taken off the table. And see, when you take discipline off the table, one thing you cannot avoid or take off the table, and that's punishment. And that's why our young people end up being punished in prison, rather than being disciplined at home. Because punishment by the state is super profitable. They make tons of money on expectant little undisciplined kids ending up being punished in prison. They're waiting on that. They're actually publicly traded companies who run prisons. And that means in order for their stock to go up, that prison, like any other part of the companies they own, has to have ever-increasing earning curves. And when that earning curve plateaus or when that earning curve starts down a downward trend, they have to stop that. And the only way to stop that is to get more kids in prison. So how do you do it? You fix it where they cannot discipline them in their own home or they'll go to jail for it. They're left with nothing. God said, spare the rod, spoil the child. They're left with spoiled children because they'll go to jail if they do anything, and so they don't do anything. Or you create an economic situation where they feel helpless and hopeless, and they let the kids raise themselves. And so without the discipline, like God disciplines us, Hebrews 12, because he loves us and it's for our good. But what happens when you take discipline out? You're left with nothing but undisciplined people who end up being punished because they don't know how to behave. And that's how we, and the devil has set it up like that. And then too many parents are running around talking about, I don't punish my kids. I talk to them. I don't, that's archaic, okay, when you are using corporal punishment. You could damage them for the rest of their lives. Well, leave them undisciplined and watch what that do to them for the rest of their lives. And so they could end up growing up disciplined, but live around a bunch of undisciplined. And so you end up with a lot of punished people going in and out of prison. In, because in prison, they don't discipline you, they punish you. When I've told you before, when I thought I could be cool, smart, not pay child support, found out that was neither cool nor was it smart, and I ended up in the Detroit House of Correction. They weren't disciplining anybody in there. They were brutally punishing. When you mess up in there, they brutally punish you. They don't ask no questions. Nobody's going to tell. They run around with the batons they carry are covered up with rubber bands. That way when they beat you with it, even if they beat you bloody, you can't tell what did it. The day I hit the Detroit House of Correction, we were there all in line and they were telling us shut up. There was undisciplined people there and they wouldn't shut up. They grabbed this one white guy and just about beat him out his clothes, dragged him across the hall to this solitary confinement room, and when they opened the door, it was nothing in there but a bucket in the corner and a drain in the floor, and the floor looked wet. They threw him in there naked and closed the door. That's prison. That's the first day we got there. Well, it's called the Detroit House of Corrections. You can call it prison, jail. It wasn't nice, okay? It was horrible, and it got worse. It just got worse. And so undisciplined children, when we don't want to discipline them because we feel like we're going to hurt their brain, and later on in life they could have act all funny because of what we did with a belt, let that undisciplined child grow up and remain undisciplined. And if you don't do nothing at home, you can forget about them respecting somebody else in the street, because the first thing out of their mouth is, you ain't my mama, you ain't my daddy.
Mm-hmm.
If they won't accept discipline at home or get none, they are not going to accept it outside the house. And so even in school, if they won't accept discipline, then they get punished. And usually that's with expulsion. And now you're out of school. Now you have no education, but you still have to eat. You still have to have clothes. You still have to have a place to live.
Amen.
And you could be raised by parents who did the same thing. And so your life is hard because they didn't get disciplined. They got expelled from school. They didn't get any education. And now they're in the welfare system. And that's what you grew up in. And here you are undisciplined, about to repeat the same thing. And so somehow that has to be part of the message, that discipline has to come back into the home. And it has to be administered by the parents with the intention that it's going to do good. Now, Hebrews 12 says, our mother and fathers punished, disciplined us as they thought best. But God disciplines us for our good. So sometimes our discipline can get out of control, and we're not quite as intentional about it as we should. You should know the outcome. My father, when he would whoop us, he would tell you why he was doing it. I'm like, seriously? Really? But he would literally let you know he was doing this so you wouldn't get cuffs on you, like you said, because somebody out there ain't your mom or your daddy. He wanted us to be able to act right out there, because sooner or later we were going to run into somebody that wasn't our mother or father or sister or brother, and they weren't going to take it. And we would end up being punished rather than disciplined. And so that was real big right there, and we've become lax in it. And like you say, when they're little and they hit you and you laugh and say, hey, look at them trying to fight, well, you let that keep on. Sooner or later, they're going to get some size on you and they'll hit you again because they got used to it. When you do that, when you don't discipline them, you're not the disciplinarian, then they come up to your level. They start calling you by your first name. You ain't even mama no more. You Kathy. Hey, Kathy. You know, that kind of stuff. Did you ever call your you ever call your parents by, hey Robert, Joseph Overall, hey Bob. I was daddy. It was daddy, straight up. Dad, hey dad. Until he left here, he was daddy.
Right.
And if I was out in the street, he was my father. He was not Bob, the guy who pays the rent down at the house. He was my father. And if you went too far like I did, then he taught me how to lay prostrate in prayer. Because one day he told me to take out the garbage, and I was 16 lifting weights. I felt like I could talk back to him. And I told him I'd take it out when I get ready. But when I got up off the floor after that prayer meeting, I took the trash out. Because he laid me out real quick. He slapped me straight to the floor, literally slapped me. He didn't hit me with his fist. He slapped me to the floor. And I was supposedly ready. Apparently, like Kevin Hart say, he wasn't ready. I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready for that, not that quick. But I learned a real quick lesson. I was like, still learning. I never forgot that one. That one stuck out from all my whoopings. I got a lot of whoopings, but from all of them, that one right there is when I was 16 and thought I could stand up to my father and have him back down and go in his room or something and say, she big, no, I can't whoop him no more. Please. He slapped me down like I was 3 years old. It didn't even matter. And so discipline
must
is important.
Must be something about them September people.
You know, I got lots of whoopings. When I heard you say that, I was like, September people just don't listen.
September people ain't going to do it their way.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. But, you know, that it's all good. It's all good. And this is a good work. It's a good work. And that's the thing, you know, giving them something to be involved in, something to look forward to. And everyone you save is the one God wanted to be saved. And so that's what makes this kind of work so exciting, is that you know you're going to reach, you're not going to reach them all, but you're going to reach some. And that's what makes it exciting. And I'm always excited about the people the Lord called to him, the ones he sends you after, you know. And it's not real easy work either. You know, my wife and I found out that helping people, boy, they make it hard for you to help them. But it's so satisfying when you actually help them. But in the beginning, helping them is not easy. You have to convince them to let them help you, that you're not trying to take over their life and run it, but you're trying to help. And once that's accomplished and then they shoot up, that's what's up. We have one person in the church. I don't have permission, so I ain't going to mention their name. But my wife and I was led by the Lord to help them. And, Lord, audience, I'm telling you that we helped them once. And after that, Jesus jumped in there and got them a job, got everything all fixed up, and just changed the whole trajectory of that family. Just the whole thing from that day to this one, smashing success. That's the power of just one. Now that we touched that one family, but that one family had, I mean, just arms all over the place, because everybody was connected to them. And so when the Lord got them together, all the rest of them got together. And God is doing awesome things with the rest of them. So the thing, it starts there, but it spreads out. And so every one family you bring back, and let's face it, today, a family, God will that it be a mother, a father, they get married, they have children. But how many of y'all know it don't always happen like that? So talking about making the best of a bad situation be in reality, that's where we at. That is just where we at. Can't force everybody who messed up or made mistakes and had babies and all this stuff and you want them to get married and had a nuclear family, whatever that is. But anyway, you have to start right where they are. I mean, if you had ran into Mary, okay, she had James, Joseph, Simon, and Jesus being the oldest, right? What it was, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas, plus Jesus. Five boys and his sisters. We don't know how many sisters he had. But we know when Jesus starts his public ministry, Joseph ain't nowhere around. So we know at some point he died. If you had met Mary, she would have been a mother with five boys and so many girls. What would you think about her? But that's a family. Jesus has had to step up and become the father because the father's gone, because he's the firstborn. He's the oldest. So he got to look at his little brothers and sisters with his mother. But if you just walk up on that situation, you'll say, there ain't no family. Where the man at? Where the husband at? Well, the husband was here, but he died. There was a lady who lived in Jesus' time, and her name was Anna. Anna had gotten married and lived seven happy years with her husband. Then he died. When the story picks her up again, she's 84, but she has not left God's house. So you might see people wherever people are, wherever they are right now, start working right there to build a family, even if it's just the mother or just the father and some children. Build the family. Build the family. Right wherever it is. Bring back the family. Be intentional about it. You know, be a help. You got friends that had babies and they're struggling, whether they're men or women, because men keep babies too. Okay? Mm-hmm. Whether it's an instructor, help them out. You know what child care situation is. You know they got to work and ain't got enough to pay for this, that, and the other. Be especially if you're doing nothing but praying to Jesus to be able to do something to help somebody. Help them out. I saw this girl today.
Mm-hmm.
She almost drove her crazy because she saw these kids who couldn't get, they got this sickle cell disease, and they couldn't get to their treatments because their mother and fathers or whatever don't have a car. So they couldn't make the treatments. This puts a child's life in jeopardy. This is a sickle cell. You can't play with that. So what did she do? Just go home and pray to Jesus? Well, she probably went home and prayed to Jesus, and then while she was praying, she heard Jesus say, you know what you should do? You should open up a 501c3 nonprofit company or a ministry or whatever and ask people to give you money so you could pay for their transportation. So she did it. And guess what? And she just started, I think, I forget when she started, but so far she had raised $12,000. That mm-hmm. money goes straight to different hospitals where they treat sickle cell patients, and they use that money to transport those families. And the ladies on there, the young girl was on there telling, I wouldn't, because they have ride support, but they'll take you there but not take you back home. So she didn't want to be left there with her little child with no way home. And so she told how awesome this ministry was that this girl just created that got her there and got her home. Her child can get the treatments that's needed to make, you know, give them some how to come up a better life. And it's just that easy. You just have to want to do it. And so Bring Back the Family is here, and get involved in the conversation. Everything starts with the conversation. They didn't just throw up the Empire State Building. Somebody started, you know what? We ought to build the tallest building in America. You think we can do that? I think we can do that. Where are we going to get the money? And it all started with a conversation before one brick was laid on top of another, before one piece of steel was put in place, before one glass window was placed in that building, somebody had a conversation. Bring Back the Family is that conversation that's going to lead to an Empire State kind of change in this world that where the family has just completely fallen apart. And again, family could be like Jesus's family when his father died. They didn't just stop being a family because Joseph wasn't there, and Mary being a single mom raising five boys, and we don't know how many girls because it just said he had sisters, and how he had to give up his young life before he started his public ministry to help his mom with his brothers and sisters, teach them, and his father Joseph taught him the carpentry business, so Jesus had to teach James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas the carpentry business. And they wasn't even feeling Jesus. When you read the Bible in Mark chapter 3, verse 21, they thought he was crazy, so they went to get him. And in John chapter 7, verses 3 through 5, it literally states even his brothers did not believe in him. Still had. So imagine what that family dynamic was like. They're like, I don't know who he think he is. He must think he God. They didn't know it. He literally was. But you know what I'm saying? I don't know why he thinks he's so special just because daddy died. Now he act like he daddy. Because you remember how Jacob's kids was? Okay, well, then Jesus is in that kind of situation. Do you think Mary and Joseph told their brothers and sisters that God was Jesus' father? So you see what I mean? So family is whatever it is, whatever you see when you get there, bring it back together. And the big thing about bringing it back together is bringing it under God. It's bringing it back under God. That might take some time to get from where they are to there, but that's the ultimate goal. Mm-hmm. And with that ultimate goal in mind, every day you wake up and make some progress on that goal. And so every day is a day of hope. Every day is a day of I'll just make you wake up and be inspired, because today I'm going to make progress on this family. Even if it's a setback day, it's still another day that work was done. And those are days you can, you know. So, yeah, that's what I got out the show tonight. So, see, when I listen to y'all talk, I listen to see what the Lord have to say about it. And then he'll say, write this down. Write that down. Remember who said what. And I'm like, well, you can forget that, but I'll write it down. But that's what I got out of it tonight. And whenever he fires me up like that again, I say it again, that lets me know, because I can't do this. It's not like I prepared this to say anything I said. It's all Holy Spirit driven. And if the Holy Spirit didn't have anything to do with bring back the family, then he wouldn't give me anything to say. And I know when he don't give me anything to say, and I most definitely will not try to make up something to say just because I'm in that situation. If he don't say nothing, I'm out. I just throw my hands up. I ain't got nothing, you know. So, because I'm not even trying without the Lord, because the devil ain't no joke. You jump out there fighting with him by yourself if you want to. He ain't no joke. You better look at what he did to Job. So, and he did that with permission. Think what he'll do when you just out there on your own trying to fight with him like the seven sons of Sceva. How did that work out? For those who don't know, you can find that story in Acts chapter 19. Read about it. These were people who didn't know God at all, didn't have no relationship with him, but tried to use his name. And it didn't work out because the devil is no joke. And if the Lord let him, he will really teach you a good lesson.
Wow. Awesome. There you go.
Now you just rhyming, ain't you? Awesome. There you go.
Awesome. There you go.
Deacon Tate calls it the Google button. He say you can ask him one question and 3 hours later.
Oh, boy. I'll give you the whole shebang about it.
I love to counsel and all of these things, and here's why, and it's kind of selfish. I want to hear what the Lord is going to say. I want to hear it because, see, I'm human like anybody else, and I have issues and problems too. And sometimes when I get to talk, I get to hear answers about things I prayed about, but somehow it comes out in the speeches I make here, or especially counseling. I learn so much from counseling. It's almost like I want to go out and hire people to counsel so I can hear what Jesus had to say to fix my life, even though I'm counseling them. But I'm getting help as much as they are. I listen to what he's saying through me.
Awesome. Oh, there you go.
Okay. Cat like, okay, I better quit before I get started again.
Awesome. Oh, there you go. Google. It was, all good, Pastor.
We had a good time, though, Wednesday night in Rebecca's class when she was teaching.
Oh, yeah.
And I thank you that you chose her and allowed her to take over for those chapters. I was really, really impressed. It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
She liked Sarah. Sarah only been preaching, 50 years, a month? I'm like, they're really good, real fast. I'm like, oh, boy.
Yeah.
And that's only the Lord can do that. He had to give you the courage. And he had to give you the presence of mind to not let the butterflies drive you completely crazy, but actually, and then had points at the end of each chapter. And that, I thought that was the highlight of it. Like you do, Kat.
It was great. No, no. I'm still learning. I'm like a baby in the woods.
Yeah, it's really, I love being in there. I love doing the questions. I love all of that.
Yeah.
And so when a lot of people don't chime in,
class.
Then I jump in
mm-hmm.
and get to answer some. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jesus said, you
everybody
just talk to me.
Still like shopping.
It was a lot of people tuned in, but sometimes they just listen. And that's cool,
mm-hmm.
too. So, but when they do that, that gives me a chance to jump in, and then I can pontificate. Jesus say, oh, so now you're using big words. Tell them you can just talk too much.
We call out a lifeline.
Right.
You be the lifeline. You bring it to life.
Though. I like
okay.
I like listening to Miss Jackie.
Good.
She sounds so intense.
Me
know,
too. Yeah.
She's just so intense.
Yes, she is.
No,
serious.
I'm not playing.
Yes. Awesome woman.
I know she is.
Awesome
when I got a chance to meet her, she got
mm-hmm.
stature. You know, she's somebody.
Mhm. Yeah. And God bring it, like he brought you people to help you. God brought people to help me. And I'm just so happy with the help. It's just so refreshing.
You got some good help.
Yeah.
Good help.
Yeah.
Young ones and
I know what he's doing.
Middle-aged and senior, and you got it covered.
Uh-huh.
Good people.
Yeah.
Good people.
Yes. Yes. Just
you better turn me off
because
I feel like I'm finna preach.
Okay. Hey, we have had a great time here today. Don't forget to tell anybody else have anything else? We good? Don't forget to tell, huh? Okay, that Bring Back the Family is on Fridays at 7 p.m. Happy New Year to everybody, and we're looking forward to 2023 being a whole new beginning of our youth and us helping them get what they need to make it. Like Pastor, we can't save them all, but we're going to try, okay? And it's just an investment. One word, it's an investment. Invest now, and you won't have to be worried about later. Invest now. Got to put them out there right. Put them out there right. You don't have to worry about nobody getting out there, like Pastor say, disciplining them behind those bars and putting them in a room where a little hole in the ground and no, they don't want it that way, and they shouldn't have to have it that way. So if we give them what they need right now, in the beginning, out of the womb, it's an investment. It's an investment, and then we'll get the fruits of the labor afterwards. Put the time in now. You put the time in now, we can celebrate later. Yeah, so, and like my sister said, they only going to be babies for a short time. And so we see a lot, I see a lot, and it just let us know that we do have a lot of work to do. You know, as long as we're doing some work, as long as we're doing the work, there's always going to be work to do, and God will be pleased with that and help when he can. So thank everybody for joining us today. Have a happy new year. See you next year, next Friday. We're gonna come back with the community person. What was that? Teresa Landrum, next Friday. And try to get some of those questions answered and get the kids to do those letters for the clean air. And, all we could do is our best. That's it. That's all we could do. So thank you, Pastor Earl. Thank you, Sister Jackie. Thank you, Sister Rebecca. Thank you, Mother Irma, Neatly, and everybody that listened today. Just looking forward to great things. I'm a hands-on person. I don't like to talk a lot. I really don't. And this is, having this show is just getting it going. This is our jump start. And once we start getting these workshops going and getting hands-on, I'll be feeling like we really, 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 really doing something, okay? And we can reach some of the masses, yeah. And everybody are just, you know, okay, yeah, our kids do supposed to know how to do this. And our kids, they'll get a clue and be like, okay, yeah, we are supposed to tell our kids they're supposed to work. Oh, yeah, we are supposed to discipline them so they can have some good behavior, you know. So, yeah, we're going to get it. We're going to get the word out there, and people start, you know, grabbing what they need. Okay, so that's it. Let me see. So we'll see you next year. Happy birthday, Mother Irma. Happy birthday, Khalil, Master Khalil. Happy birthday, Sheila, Shibi, Sheila, overall, baby Holy Ghost. And everybody else that has a birthday out there. Yeah, all the January people, and just, you know, everybody have a safe and prosperous New Year, okay? All right, work to do.